I appreciate the work of everybody in getting this agenda together in the meeting. And so I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the Application Review Committee of the State of Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners. Today is March 30th, 2020, and the time is 7:31 a.m. I don't know if Ms. Folks is on the line. Is she there? Yeah, everyone's there. Do you mind doing the roll call?
Dr. Malott, this is Jennifer.
Sure.
I will go ahead and call the roll. Dr. Malott?
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Here.
Okay. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Okay, we have quorum.
Thank you. Before we go to item number four, before we start discussing, and I'm wondering whether we can discuss it or not, in light of the new information that's coming, I just need some guidance. And we could go to item number five, which is new agenda items, and I guess discuss it under there. Ms. Galvin, do you have any recommendations? I'm talking about the governor's recent legislation. It's not agendized.
It's not on the agenda, but I think just as an overview to help guide you for today's meeting, there was an executive order issued on the 26th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 26th, regarding the continuity of work. And as part of that executive order, the governor ordered that if an applicant has been able to provide proof that he or she has completed all other licensure requirements except for the licensing exam, and the exam is given electronically in a testing center, and those testing centers are closed because of COVID-19, that the board is, the regulatory board is mandated to issue a provisional license to that person that's valid for 6 months from the date of issuance, to allow that person to become licensed without taking the exam if they are prohibited from taking the exam because the testing center is closed. And that provisional license is good until the expiration of the emergency. It'll be suspended after the expiration of the emergency or 20 days after the testing centers reopen. And so that does impact most licensing boards that I am familiar with. I don't think it impacts your responsibility today to go ahead and look through these applications, ensure that they've met all the other licensing requirements. And then the board is going to meet tomorrow to discuss this executive order. And then we can put these individuals in the category that other individuals are in who have applied, who are seeking licensure and are just waiting to take the ECCC, which those testing centers are closed, so they would be eligible to obtain a provisional license from the board.
Well, the board, so do we have direction on how an applicant can request provisional, or is that up to the licensing board?
Yeah, we haven't gotten direction, but I would envision, you know, it being this information put on the board's landing page, an application developed, or one of your current applications modified. I know that word is spreading. Other boards are getting inquiries about how do I go about doing this. So I would think that, you know, the universities are going to, you know, communicate with their students as well, and as well as other internship sites. I think the word will get out. But I would request that the board do some advertising or publicizing about this order.
So for today, we'll just go ahead and address each applicant through our normal process. And then based on whatever happens tomorrow, both staff would be directed to maybe contact all of the individuals who've been approved pending passing the exam for some kind of quick kind of, you know, to move them to a provisional status.
Yes, asking them or informing them that they are eligible to apply for provisional license under this recently issued executive order.
Okay. So we'll just proceed like normal today then.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Galvin. I appreciate that. So let's go ahead then and move to item number 4, which is discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. The very first one we have is Amy Lee Becker. She is a reapplication, and I think everything else is good. She's been reviewed by the board before. I didn't have a problem with her application. Okay. Doctor, we just go back and forth, Doctor?
Sure.
Myers?
Yes. Next is Amy Bissinger, completed her PhD at Pacific in 2018, which is APA accredited. She submitted hours from internship, 2003 hours from University of Connecticut Counseling Center, which is APA approved. And then she completed 2000 hours at Iowa State Counseling Center. And there was a verification form, but no training plan.
Okay.
So I don't know that she has the all of the documentation for approval.
Okay. I'm good with her. Next one is Angelica Parnell-Tan, who
Dr. Moll, you were good with her being approved?
Let me look. You know, I thought I looked at it, and there was acknowledgement. Let me go ahead. Amy Mary Bissinger. Ah, it's that same problem. Yeah. So
Madam Chair, committee members, the... We did receive the postdoc training plan. Somehow it didn't get into the file. I apologize. There is a learning curve for me with all this digital filing. Shall I email it to you, or would you like me to upload it and come back to this one?
You can email it to us if that's quicker.
Yeah, that's fine. If we have it, that's great. I just didn't see anything in there.
No, it's not in there. It's in the documents that I've received. It just somehow didn't get into the file like it should have.
Okay, great. Okay.
Thank you. So next one is Angelica Parnell-Tan, PsyD, graduated from Argosy, Illinois School of Professional Psychology. Did a pre-doc, did a post-doc. She mentioned something about her supervisor not being there and another supervisor completing it. And that's okay. That typically happens, you know, when turnover. So I didn't have a problem with the secondary supervisor, and she provided an explanation. So I'm good with her application.
As was I. Next is Dr. Barbad Salimi. He has failed the exam 3 times. So this is the 4th application. He graduated from Fuller Theological in 2015, which is APA accredited. He submitted 1,500 hours internship from Danielson Institute at Boston University, which is APA approved. And he also completed a postdoc there. Had recommendation letters. So the only issue I had is that there was no study plan since he had failed 3 times prior.
The only thing is, I'm just trying to figure out, because he's doing it as a new application, rather than, you know, a re-app. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah, so...
Well, the reading, it looked to me like it didn't matter about application status. It was just if he had ever taken it three times or failed three times, then he had to have a plan.
Okay. So let's go ahead and ask him then for, yeah, it says if this is your third time, please, you know, pursuant an applicant is to implement a program of study. Yeah, so we need to ask him for that. If he can get it to us before Friday, when we do vote on these applicants, then we can add it back to the agenda and we can look at it as a full board.
So. Madam Chair, committee members, this is Kathy again. I'm looking through this file. There was a letter he sent, but once again, I thought it was in here, and it is not. I apologize. I will send that one also by email to you. He sent it in a letter format, not in a typical one you normally see. I thought it was in there. It is not.
What about his references? I think his references were old, too, unless I was mistaken. I just want to look at his references again. I made a note saying they were old. I'm looking at his application. Okay. So we have 2014 to 2016, and it was completed just in March 2020. And then we have a second one that is current, and yes, so we need a updated reference as well for Dr. Salimi.
Thank you. I did not catch that.
Yeah, so we have two issues. But we will look at his study plan and comment on it as soon as we receive it. So I'm looking at my email. Okay.
Yeah, I just looked at the training plan for Dr. Bissinger, and it looks good to me.
Okay, there it is. Okay. So this is Bissinger's postdoc training plan. So this was the previous applicant we discussed.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's good to me, too. So. Okay, so we're good for that. Okay, we can move to the next one while we wait on the letter from Dr. Salimi. So the next one is Heather Holden. She graduated from the University of California, San Diego, PhD clinical psych, did a pre-doc, post-doc, is currently at Barrows. Everything looked good with her application.
I agree, no problems there. Next is Lori Wilson. This is a reapplication, failed an exam, and there were also previously problems with hours. I had a hard time figuring out the timeline on this one. It looked like she was, we first reviewed her in August of 2019, and we requested additional information about her pre-doc hours, but then it looks like she didn't submit those until March of 2020, but she took the exam in October of 19. So, but I didn't see that she had ever addressed the concerns we had back in August. The pre-doc hours that she submitted, there are 1650 hours from a couple of different schools through the National University Master's Program. There was a verification of the hours that was clarified that we received in March because they were all based on classes, but I didn't see any documentation of training plan.
So I see the supervisory internship national, and she had 720 at the first, and then she had another 720 at the second site, and then she included her reapplication. So what could have happened with that, because she took the exam, is that she moved to just a license, you know, without as long as she had the internship. So her status changed, which is why she was allowed to take the. Okay, so she still had to provide 1,500 hours, you know, the remaining 1,000+ hours, you know, to meet the licensure application. So I went back and I looked at her. Three doctors to make sure, because it's kind of confusing, her application, and then I'm just double checking her three doc. So she did her pre-internship verification, and we had trouble with the numbers. There was a training agreement in the initial application, Dr. Myers. So if you go to page 85 of 114, you will see the training agreement. The problem we had was not that the training agreement wasn't listed, but the fact that her hours were calculated incorrectly. She listed her total hours for direct hours rather than the direct hours. So it was mostly right. Clerical error. So she did have training plans for it, and she did a 1700 internship at Paradise Valley, which had everything, and that wasn't under a that was accepted. So I see the training plan, and it was 1650 hours, and what she did in the new one, she broke it up by semester, but the training plan covered both semesters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
I see that. I don't have problems with her at this point.
Okay. Okay, the next one is Maria Sanchez. She's also a reapplication, and I'm okay with her app.
As am I. Next is Kathleen Bailey. She graduated from Lakehead University in Ontario in 2018. That is approved by the Canadian Psychological Association, but classes look good. She submitted 1811 hours from a consortium for internship, which is APA approved. And then she submitted 1500 hours from Sierra Tucson for her postdoc. And in there was a verification, but no training plan. Let me double check that, because I seem to have missed a lot of training plans.
Madam Chair, Dr. Meyer, on page 31 of 40, I think that document was meant to be a post-training plan.
Yeah, that one, it seems to be just a documentation of hours. There's nothing about... not clear when that was signed or dated. Well, I guess it says...
What page are you on?
Page 31.
it's really a very poor, and you know, I am a little more sympathetic for people outside of Arizona because they don't know our statutes at the time. But this is in Arizona. Sierra Tucson does postdocs all the time. To me, this is not acceptable to have something when they know our statutes. They're going to hire somebody to do postdoc. They need to follow the statutes, you know? And the statutes have been in existence now for almost 6 or 7 years. And, you know, where is the... let me just go back to something. I want to read the statutes. You know, they're using her to do testing, and it just doesn't seem right what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this really doesn't say that what they're being trained in or anything. It's just these are the hours, and this is what the hours were on.
Yeah. So supervised postdoctoral, okay. So if the institution is located, each applicant shall acquire 3,000 hours, supervised 3 internships. It talks about the hours, the supervised professional experience. I just want to... So supervision must be conducted. Here are the requirements, you know, that we need to see by a psychologist who's licensed 2 years. Supervisor takes full legal responsibility. The supervisor is the custodian of records. Supervisor is available. Regular in-person is conducted. Of course, they verify all of that in the... the applicant provides from the training organization a written training plan that describes the goals and content of the training experience, and that documents that clear expectations exist for the breadth, depth, and quality and quantity of the trainee's work at the time of the supervised professional experience. And, you know, so... the breadth, depth, and quality, I just don't see it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think this is a training.
And they can do it post, you know, because, really, I have a problem with Arizona. We do allow, you know, people who are not familiar with our statutes, and oftentimes they'll do like an employment letter or something like that, you know? And we make them, they can do it post whatever after the experience. I think we need to write back and tell her that we need a training plan, a written training plan, and cite the statute as I just read.
Madam Chair, on in the rule, this is Kathy, sorry, under R426 6-203.04, the temporary license rule, describes the postdoc training plan. It has A, B, C, D, you know, through I of what should be in it.
So
is that something that you want to reference? This is the rules in our psychologist rules. It describes what should be in a written training plan. I wondered
if the rules and the expectations, the methods of evaluating the supervisee. It's also, the problem is, I don't know if you can quote this rule, but our statutes kind of have that, because this only applies to temporary license, so I don't think we can mix and match. But the statute does provide guidance for any kind of, you know. So, because they may say, well, that doesn't apply to us if you quote the temporary license. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking. There's nothing else in the rules for. I'm looking for postdoc. I thought we had it in the rules too. I'm just looking really quick. Yeah, it's not, we have for pre-internship. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, so I think we're done with Susan. And the last one is, oh, there was one more problem that I had with Dr. Bailey's application. I read our statutes, and our statutes do not cite CPA. So she does need to complete the coursework requirement, and she did not complete it correctly. No, if you look at it, there's mistakes in it. So if you go to, and, you know, I was like, you know, she really needs to complete that correctly because it's not APA credit, it's CPA. She throws in 36. What is 36? Oh, is it 3 to 6?
I assume that was hours.
But 36 doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Right.
It was
45 hours.
I looked at her transcripts, and her transcripts were fine. Miss Folks, how does it look in the regular copy? I'm wondering if the dash is missing.
Madam Chair, no. This is exactly what it looks like in the original as well. It does say just 36. And
yeah, and if you look at her transcripts, once you get past all the, you know, and... you know, it has credits, and if you look at Lakehead University, okay, so she, like, say for ethics, it is winter 2012, psych 5271. So if you go to winter, really hard to figure out her system. I don't see credits. You know what I mean? So initially, oh, there's PhD clinical psych, and you see these 0.5, 0.5. Do you see all those 0.5?
Right.
And I can, you know, and I'm looking for the ethics one. Oh, there's ethics and professional issues, and it says 0.5 and... the grade seems to match our grading system, and
The 0.5 means that there was 12 weeks of 3 lecture hours per week, which would be 36
hours. Yeah, it says a weight of 1.0 is a 24-week course of 3 lecture hours. So 0.5 would be 12. Okay. So 12 threes are 36. That's where she gets the
right
36. And so if you have two classes that you list there, then you meet the 45 that we need. A three credit is 45, you know, 45 right. contacts. So that's where she comes up with a 36. Then let's go back since we have a math now. Cultural issues for clinical psychologists. Does that meet, would that come under ethics, you know? It looks like the stats is fine. Biological is fine. Cognitive, social cognition. So we got two. Social basis of behavior. The cultural processes really fits here, you know. And right. community and rural psychology, I don't know. Then individual differences is fine. Assessment is fine. And treatment modalities is fine. I'm just looking at her ethics again. So I had a problem with ethics and social right thing. And I'm struggling a little bit with all her courses.
Yeah, I mean, cultural competency is an ethical aspect if it was focused on that versus, I don't know. I think we'd have to see a syllabus to see if that would fit. She's short 9 hours.
Yeah, so I mean, she only needs 9, and so I'm sure there's a portion of the class, regardless, that is devoted to more ethical and professional issues, you know. So she could also have it covered in one of her practicums. So we need to ask her for a syllabus for cultural issues for clinical psychologists, and we also need to. She had a group class that she did not include. So we could put the group class in there, and we'll call it good. You know, I saw it in her syllabus. So we're going to count the group towards the social basis of behavior. And then, you know, men and treatment-seeking behavior does have a cultural diversity piece, but she will probably have more from the cultural piece. So I'm okay with that. And she threw the group down there, you know, but it really right. could fit up there. So we need to see her syllabus for cultural issues for clinical psychologists and then the other stuff that we asked for.
The training plan for the year of Tucson. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. I think we are ready right. for a vote for this section, motion.
I think we've got one more, Dr. Sue Moeller.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Dr. Sue Moeller is a reapplication. I didn't have a problem with her app.
So she's failed the exam 5 times. Is there a point
five.
That...
Okay. Let's... me pull up her ready to. So she has a study plan 2020. What do you think of that on page 10?
Well, the one thing for me would be, have we seen other study plans? What were her previous couple study plans? To see if this is anything different, I don't know. I mean, I was concerned when I saw she had failed it five times. I mean, I know that at some point, I'm thinking
I've seen one that she submitted it. Go ahead.
I thought at some point I saw that there was maybe a previous one that which she hadn't studied as much because she was working, and so she could only say no. Well, I'm not seeing that here now.
So I see one on page 32. Or 33, and then I've seen three so far.
Yeah, there's one on page 21 as well from 2018, and then she does have a current one.
But I think this one was before she, I'm trying to think if the 10 was the page on 10. Is it submitted as part of this application?
Yeah, so her last exam she took was in December of 2019, and this plan is labeled 2020, so I assume this is the current one.
New one. Okay, so looking at her current plan.
I mean, is there ever a time where we say this, that this doesn't seem to work? I mean, is there a maximum on how many times?
Yes. No, we don't have a maximum. But at some point, we do call the licensee to the meeting to really discuss this plan, you know? Because obviously it's not working, you know?
Right.
So she's not going to be working, yeah. I mean, that's definitely going to be a discussion tomorrow with these candidates that are taking 4 and 5. They're all going to be eligible for the provisional license now. So that's going to be, you know, something to weigh in. So,
Madam Chair, if I may interject quickly too, this is Heidi. We have reached out to the governor's office to ask for guidance on that specific issue. If the executive order extends to anyone who has attempted the licensure exam before and failed, and if yes, at what point is that, does that preclude them from the provisional license? I will try to get that information for the board by tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. I think since we are operating under the current statute, Dr. Myers, I think her study plan to me, I think we need to, if things were normal and things are not right now, We would really invite her to come back to the board office and really talk to us, because, you know, she's driving back and forth from work listening to an audio tape. And I don't think she's spending the required amount of time she needs to pass this exam, you know. And that is a big concern to me. So, and I'm looking through her scores. I mean, I won't say her scores publicly. I know we're not allowed to. And she's really close. You know, she hovers. So. You know, so I think she is, you know, with just some focused, keep looking at it and, yeah, anyway. But, you know, given the circumstances right now, I think we should just go ahead. I don't know. I'm struggling.
Okay.
Coming to a telephonic board meeting and, I think we need to go ahead and approve her. But maybe, Ms. Folks, could you add a letter, say the board is concerned and really urges her to devote the time necessary to, to address the weakness, you know, to really... spend the time necessary so that she can pass this exam.
So. Madam Chair, we can do that, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm fine with that.
Are you okay with that, Ms. Dr. Myers?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I'll go ahead and make the motion. I'm looking at my notes. I make the motion that we move the following candidates to the full board: Dr. Becker, Dr. Bissinger, Dr. Parnell, Tan, Dr. Holden, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Sanchez, and Dr. Moeller too. And then Dr. Bailey, we're going to send her a letter asking for additional information. And what about Dr. Salimi? Did you send us the...
I see the letter now, the study plan. And, I mean, he's saying he studied and... did tests, and now he's decided it was the wrong method or program or brand, and so he's switched to a different company for study prep. I think there needs to be more focus on what he's studying and how he's studying, not just saying it was a bad brand.
Mm-hmm. So I think we do need a revised study plan, and it needs to be focused. It needs to have a timeline. It needs to specify exactly what he's going to do. And then his reference letter is also outdated. And so we need a current reference letter. So that is the motion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do I hear
seconded.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We're done.
Madam Chair.
Four. Go ahead.
Would it be okay if we, I just wanted to make sure we circled back up to review and approval of the minutes. I'm sorry to interject.
Oh, okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I would make a motion to approve the previous minutes.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion approved. We're good with that item. We can go to 4B, which is a waiver. Do you want to go next, Dr. Myers?
Yes. Dr. Adam Froese, passed the ACCC, recently, school was from, but it was, he just passed the ACCC, he's not licensed yet. Graduated from University of Memphis in 2018, which is APA approved. He submitted 2,080 hours from the Alaska VA, no, Arkansas VA, sorry, which is APA approved. He completed 1,040 hours at the Hawaii VA and had references. So I didn't see an issue other than the postdoc verification form says 1,040 hours versus he had put 2,080 at some point earlier up in the exam, but the verification seems fine and he has sufficient hours.
Okay. Okay, so we're good with him. And the next one under the waiver is Elisbetta Ambrosia. He does meet the requirements. So internship, even though it was approved during the time she was in the internship, we would still consider it an APA-approved internship. Then she did a postdoc. I didn't have a problem with her application.
The only concern was that the verification form for internship said she was working 42 hours per week. She would still have...
Because... because it was under the APA, she doesn't have to provide the hours. So we're just going to, I'm just ignoring it. So.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, as long as we are just, she had more than enough, even if we counted 40. Her internship is considered an APA approved internship, and that's where they stop. So.
Okay. Next is Kimberly Howlett. Waiver, licensed less than 10 years. She graduated from the Forest Institute of Professional Psychology in 2015, which was APA accredited at the time. Submitted 2,038 hours from the Missouri Psych Consortium, which was APA accredited. And she submitted 2,080 hours from treatment in Texas, treatment program in Texas with a verification and training plan. Had references. I didn't see any problems with her.
Okay. Next one is Spring Johnson. She is a graduate from Loma Linda Institute, University. APA approved. She did a pre-doc VA internship. She is using pre-internship hours in the university, right, saying, you know, they filled out the verification pages, and the university indicated that they don't do training plans with their institutes, that, you know, that are outside of the agency. We will accept a syllabus or something that, you know, so here, explanation of no response. We do not require training agreements for each practicum. So she's including contract training plans from a practicum site. So I'm looking to this, and so she looks, so there's this very comprehensive rating scale and a report on that. And I see another rating scale, a Qualtrics form. And then, you know, I would accept a comprehensive syllabus that really documents that this is a, you know, it's not just something she's doing on her own. If you're counting as practicum, you want to see that there's university interaction, you know, there's oversight and supervision. I mean, the the faculty member can document all how those requirements that is in our statutes were met. So I think we need to send it back, or she can use postdoc hours. What do you think, Dr. Meyer?
I was concerned about this. And in addition, the training at UCLA Medical Center only had group supervision. There was no individual supervision.
That's a big catch. Wow, how did you... and all those tiny documents. Oh, in her actual form.
On the verification form,
Yeah, on the verification. So I see. Oh, yeah. And so that doesn't meet the requirements. So we do need to point that out, too. So there's definitely... a lot of problems. And then, because it's a practicum, what is the university's role in it? That's why we want these training plans. If the syllabus outlines it very clearly, we have accepted syllabi. Let's say, the student's doing a practicum and there's regular contact. Oftentimes there's group supervision happening at the university,
Well, and I think, I was trying to figure this out, I think all of the rating forms are from the UCLA one. I'm not positive. Which was the one with the group supervision only versus the Loma Linda Medical Center in Kittville.
So we do have problems with our pre-internship, Ms. Folks, that we need to write a letter and talk about the statute and, that we need to have documentation, even if it's in the form of a letter regarding oversight and, if there's a syllabus, there's so many documentations, is it in the handbook, does it describe the process, what happens, plus the group supervision is a problem regardless of all of what we just said. Okay, next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you going to do the next?
Yes. Last in this category is Yamilis Fisher, waiver, less than 10 years license, graduated from Phillips Graduate University in 2009, which was not APA accredited. I did see some problems with her education. And then she's using pre-doc hours from a state prison. There were no verification or training plan for that. And then she did complete a APA-approved internship. I had trouble. It looks like she marked the state prison as, she labeled it as a postdoc. But then submitted it as just 640 hours as a pre-internship, so I couldn't quite tell what was going on with her hours. And then with her education, under cognitive, she was using a social class, and she double-counted a class. So I saw issues both with her hours and her education. But she's already licensed. She would potentially be able to qualify for the universal recognition. If she applied that way.
Madam Chair, Dr. Myers, this is Kathy. Dr. Fisher did initially apply by universal recognition, but she is not moving here. She does not have residence, so she had to change her application to the standard.
Okay. So I don't think she meets with the education or the hours, as far as I could tell.
And the cognitive behavior, cognitive affect that she's missing an hour, it moves social into that area. And then foundations of psychology is really part of the physio, which she's already counted. So that wouldn't meet it. She needs another learning thinking class. She can use her comps as a, you know, so we can offer her that. And the individual differences is also, to me, questionable. That's like a multicultural social type class. So she pushed that in there. She might have other classes. So she really needs to, she needs to, if she's submitting the class, she also needs to include the specific syllabus or the, the description in the...
She has a brief description of each course. I mean, it's like the course description, no syllabi.
Yeah. And because she did it a long time ago, she probably doesn't have syllabi.
Right.
So her problems include no postdoc, her pre-doc does not meet the requirements, and there's coursework issues for the areas that Dr. Myers mentioned. Okay, do you want to make a motion, Dr. Myers? We're done with this category.
I would move that, make a motion that we move Dr. Frost, Dr. Ambrosia, and Dr. Howlett to the full board for approval, and then submit the letters of concern for both Drs. Johnson and Fisher.
Okay. I second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We will go to the next one, and that is Kim and Bowie. This is approval of hours for licensure. Basically, they're postdocs. Dr. Bowie submitted her postdoc. It appears to meet the requirement. I don't have a problem with her application. You okay with that?
Yes. Next is Ronald Bean. Passed the ECCC. He submitted pre-doc hours to meet the 3,000 total. He had 352 from a psychological clinic, training clinic, 600 from a VA, and 320 from a counseling center. They had verification and training plans, so I didn't see any problems with his application.
Okay. I think we only had two in that category, right?
Yes.
So do you want to make a motion?
I would move that both of the candidates be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Okay. I second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We're done with that. We have the next category, which is temporary license. We just had one applicant in that category, Dr. Matt Hussey. He graduated from the Illinois School of Professional Psych, did a pre-doc, post-doc plan is good, and pre-doc internship is good. So didn't see any problems with his application. He's ready to move.
This was one that we have the residency status issue. He did his coursework at RGC, but the...
No. I don't think so. I did look at that very carefully. And if you look, he's an older, I mean, not older, but he's just silent. Yeah.
Well, he graduated from, like, the degrees from National Lewis University in 2019.
Okay. I saw that. And because it wasn't a Phoenix Argosy, I guess I didn't catch it. So I saw the Argosy transcript. But the degree is not posted on this one. Okay. Thank you for catching that. I said, oh, he's got a full transcript, but...
And he did not check the residency box on the application either.
Okay. So we're going to have to hold off on him, but just put him on hold. Let's table it. Okay.
And Ms. Galvin, are we allowed to, I mean, that bill did not pass, correct? And is there an issue on how long
we can table? No, they are in recess. They're going to come back.
The bill has not passed of today.
And it's going to be, I mean, it's not on the docket at this point, correct?
That's my understanding. It is not. Go ahead, Heidi.
So the last report from the legislature as they voted to recess was that they were going to assess the situation 3 weeks. 3 weeks into the future, so that was a week ago today. So there is a possibility that at some point, whether it's 3 weeks or 3 months into the future, the legislature may vote to come back and continue their work. So in my mind, yes, bill definitely has not passed, but in my mind, there is a chance that it may. I consider it to be, it's sort of in a suspension mode until that decision is made by the legislature.
And is there any issue with keeping these applications on hold for an extended period of time?
I would love for Ms. Galvin to also weigh in. As far as I'm concerned, I think that we have acknowledged that there will be a number of applicants that we won't process within the required time frame. So we will be required to revert their application fee, refund their application fee back to them. That's obviously something that the board can easily manage from a financial perspective.
I would agree that tabling the application is one of your options.
Okay. Thank you all. I'm fine with tabling it.
Okay, let's move to credentials. Dr. Myers?
Do we need to make a motion on that? Or?
No, tabling does not require a motion.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Janet Nicholson, credentialed from the National Register of Health Service Psychologists, licensed in multiple states, for several decades, graduated from Harvard. I didn't see any problems with her application.
Me too. Dr. Nikisha Hammond, also National Register. I didn't see any problems with her application. The one thing, I guess I haven't thought it before, but National Register applicants are not supposed to submit reference forms. I'm just checking.
That is correct. They don't have to issue. They don't have to submit reference forms.
Okay.
So I would make a motion to move Drs. Nicholson and Hammond to the full board for approval for licensing.
Okay. I second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Our last category is universal recognition. I'll go ahead and do both of them. We have Dr. Deborah Chattel, and Dr. Kane Christensen. Both of them have graduated from APA-approved programs. They are licensed in other states. They meet the residency requirements. And so I didn't see any problems with the application.
Nor did I.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make the motion that we approve them. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done. I guess we have a meeting tomorrow. Oh, my phone is giving
Thank
out.
Thank you, so. Andy.
There's an echo. So,
thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I would move to adjourn the meeting.
I'm assuming they have no agenda items. The previous item, you know, we talked about it earlier. So, I have the motion to adjourn. I'll second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.